Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendes, and on this evening's show we will of course be looking ahead to Saturday's home game with high-flying Plymouth Argyle in front of a massive crowd at the Valley against the Table Toppers. It should be a very good one. Joining me to discuss that match is, of course, Mr. Lewis Cathead. In, Lou?
Yeah, good, thank you, mate. How are you?
How's your COVID? Yeah, not bad. Still riddled with it?
Well, only for another day, apparently. So I'll be out and about on Saturday. Really looking forward to it. So yeah, nice to be back outside. Congratulations, by the way.
Oh yeah, Big Daddy Mendes is going to become a reality now. Obviously, you guys have been calling me that in private for years at my insistence, but now everyone else will have to as well. Yes, there's a mini Mendes on the way. So yeah, thank you for all your kind messages on Twitter, etc. Throughout the week. So yes, on tonight's show, as I said, we're going to look ahead to the Plymouth game. Of course, we're going to hear from the caretaker boss, Johnny Jack. In a few moments' time, plenty of little bits and pieces to discuss. He'll talk about the fact that obviously Thomas Sandgaard's over this week for the game, the appeals that we put in for Jaden Stockley's red card, players coming back. Of course, a player signed on a longer-term deal today. Corey Blackett-Taylor has been given an extended deal now. He was, of course, on a short-term contract. He's going to be here till the end of next season now. We're going to hear from the man himself and Jacko on that. We'll talk about, of course, the fact that we're expecting a big crowd at the Valley on Saturday with that free ticket initiative for season ticket holders. So we'll chat a little bit about that. We've got your tweets and emails, and we're going to hear from Chris Errington from the Plymouth Herald as well, who's going to tell us all about Ryan Lowe's side as well. So I mean, before we hear from Jacko, I mean, it's another exciting game on the Jackson juggernaut, and a real tough one. But again, I mean, it could all go horribly wrong, but it's got the potential with the big crowd, Sandgaard over, Jackson as manager. You know, and a tough, tough game. If we can get something on Saturday, it could be a really good day at the Valley.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's got all the ingredients to be a really special day. You know, a massive bumper crowd. I think I saw over 25,500 expected there on Saturday, which is outstanding, really, you know, at League One level. It feels like the club's pulling in a really exciting direction now. Obviously, Jacko at the helm, albeit still as a caretaker. The form has obviously uplifted massively. The performances have also changed just the magnitude of change in performance is outstanding as well. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it on Saturday. I think, you know, it's a real test. We've had this already, really, where, you know, the Sunderland game, we saw that as a massive test, and that turned out to be a decent result up at the Stadium Alight. And obviously the Rotherham game as well, we had at the Valley a couple of weeks ago, where we managed to get a point out of that, and actually I thought was the better side overall. So, you know, it's a good time to be playing them, I think. You know, a big bumper crowd at the Valley, Sandgaard coming over, you know, everyone's really sort of high-spirited at the moment. And, you know, Plymouth, of course, are at the top of the league for a reason and are high-flying at the moment. But it could be an occasion that we really take to at the Valley, you know, in front of a bumper crowd. Yeah, it's got all the ingredients to be a really good day. Very tough game and a real challenge for Jacko's Reds. But yeah, really looking forward to it.
Excellent stuff. Right, well then, let's hear from the man himself, Johnny Jackson. Sat down and spoke to Ollie Groom at the training ground today. And obviously, it's been a clear week on the training ground. No midweek game. So Jacko was asked how the last 7 days have been at Sparrows Lane.
Really good, as always. We've had a good, strong week on the training ground. Yeah, like you say, we're going into a bit of a mad period after this Saturday. The game's going to come thick and fast. So we've had to use the time really wisely, get the physical work in that we need to get to the lads to prepare them for this busy schedule that we've got coming back, and obviously do the right tactical work for a big game upcoming against Plymouth.
We'll get into the team news ahead of Saturday. Obviously, appeals did go in for Jaden's red card and Akin's yellow card, which he's suspended. Is there any update on either of those?
We're hoping to hear back today, just so we can we can finalise what we're going to do at the weekend. But we're still waiting on some news from the AFL on that.
And as far as the injuries go, obviously we've been about John Lecco, Adam Matthews over the last few weeks. Connor and Chris Gunter have been away from international duty. First of all, how have they come back? Have they got a clean bit of health, and how are the other two getting on?
Yeah, Gunts and Connor have come back from international duty fine. Yeah, no problems there at all. Both trained this morning. Lico and Adam are obviously getting closer, but I think, again, the weekend's going to come too soon. We hope to have them back involved after the weekend. Certainly with the games coming up, they'll be involved before too long.
And obviously Plymouth are top of the table for a reason. You know, they're going to pose a tough test. I mean, what do you expect from them on Saturday?
A tough game. It's someone I know well who's in charge. Ryan Lowe's done a brilliant job there. They're top of the table for a reason because, they're playing some really good stuff. They're scoring a lot of goals. Got a lot of energy in their team. Play a similar way to how we've been playing in the last few games. So I think it's going to be a good test for us. Will be a good test for them. I think it should be a really exciting game.
You mentioned Ryan Lowe there. You know him well. Is it a case of chatting back and forth in the run-up to a game, or do you like to try and keep the distance and keep your cards close to your chest? Obviously, but is it a case of staying professional and dropping any banter before Saturday?
No, we haven't spoken this week, but we spoke the week before, not about the game, just about some other stuff. And someone I speak to regularly, got a lot of time for, become really good friends with. Obviously, we're going into the game Saturday. He's going to want to beat me. I'm going to want to beat him, and that's the nature of our competitive edge. But yeah, someone I've got a lot of respect for, and I've got a lot of respect for his team. We'll have to be on our game. They're going to pose us a lot of threats, but obviously, I always say I feel like we can cause any team threats if we get our stuff right. We can win the game, sure.
Yeah, Thomas Sangard will be in town as well on Saturday. Looking forward to catching up with him.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Obviously, we've been having our conversations, but they've been over the phone, so it's always, I'm a people person. I like to sit down with people and have conversations, look people in the eye. That's the best form of communication. So it'd be great to catch up with him. It'd be great for him to see the Valley Fall and rocking, and hopefully we can give him performance as well.
There we go. Plenty of exciting stuff in there from Jacko. We mentioned it at the end there, Lewis. Obviously, Thomas is over on Saturday. Obviously, until the decision is made, then I'm going to be hammering home this point every minute of every day. But I mean, to be fair, it's not just me. We went on the Radio London show last night, and that question was asked of all of us. It's a question on everyone's lips at the moment. When is Johnny going to be given the full-time role? Now, we look at the fact that Thomas is over this Saturday. I mean, do you think that will bear any income on the outcome, if that makes sense? Are we expecting the fact that Thomas is here? Is that going to play a part in things?
I'd like to think so. You know, the last time he came over, I think we spoke about it yesterday. It was at a time when Nigel was here, and we maybe thought, was he coming over to make the decision of making a change? And we weren't too sure if he would, because we hadn't seen that side of Thomas as an owner yet. We didn't know if he was ready to make those big decisions, and he did. And since then, obviously, Jacko's been in charge and in this caretaker basis. And Thomas always said from the start he would be given the fair crack to put his own hat in the ring for this role, if the performances were right and the job was right. And so far, I mean, he's kind of aced it, hasn't he, really, with flying colours. And, we said it last night, it becomes that now. It's not just the question of, if Jackson gets it. It's kind of like, when will he get it now? Because, we all want it. We all responded positively yesterday on the show on BBC London that it's something we all want to see now. He's more than proven his worth, I think. The players have come out publicly and supported it, which is something you don't always see. Players sometimes try to stay sort of on the fence, if you like, in these situations. But there's been public backing from Jaden Stockley, Ben Purrington, Piercy, just to name a few. So I think now, the timing for me is right. Thomas coming over, hopefully off the track record of how it panned out with Nigel when he came over. I can only hope he's coming over to give Johnny the contract that he deserves to take this club forward. And I think it's something that supporters will really get behind.
Yeah, I mean, it's understandable that Thomas would be wary about diving in too soon. you know, considering what's happened before and Jacko's relative lack of experience as a manager. Although, obviously, as I said last night, the results are sort of making that decision for him. But it does sort of it poses the question, and there are people who tweet in and say, look, there's absolutely no rush, just leave him as caretaker for as long as it takes. But I don't know, does it get to a point where you're like, well, come on, does it make any difference to Jacko, do you think? I mean, he said he'll just sort of, you know, go on and act as if he is the manager effectively and make those sort of decisions anyway. So, you know, maybe is it me being impatient and you know, Jacko probably doesn't mind at all? Or is it, he'll start to wonder, well, what more do I have to do to prove my worth?
Yeah, I think it'll probably be more the latter, because he's been in this position before with Bowe going, and he took charge of that game, and then Adkins came in very quickly afterwards. So he didn't really get that opportunity to stake his claim, if you like. But this time around, you know, he's been given a bit longer, and the performances, not even just the results, the performances have just completely made a massive U-turn. And the overall quality of football that we're watching and the way we play, the identity that we've actually managed to develop. And these are things that, you know, at Sunderland, we kind of expected it not to happen so quickly. We went up there kind of, you know, thinking, oh, we might not win, but as long as we see a good performance, we went up there and we were outstanding and won the game. And that was with like a day, you know, a day on the training ground. And we're seeing continual progress in my eyes at the moment under Jacko. The players are behind it. The fans are behind it. And it is like the perfect formula. I mean, of course, there's going to be bumps in the road, because we haven't seen how we react to a defeat if we do lose under Jacko, which we will at some point. So that's something that you have to monitor. But at the same time, if you waited to see how a caretaker adapted to that sort of situation, if we say we go and lose on Saturday, to not give him the job because we lose one game and we want to see how we react, probably wouldn't be overly justified. I think the timing of the season now, you know, we're coming into Christmas, where it's going to be a very busy Christmas schedule. You then got the January window afterwards. So how long do you leave it? Because, you know, how long before the window opens in January are we doing work behind the scenes to see how maybe we can improve and bring players in to strengthen the squad, if that's something we want to do in the January window? So I think there's a lot of work at this time of the year. It's very busy, and you'd rather be doing that and making those decisions if you have a permanent manager in charge that wants to instill his way of taking the club forward. And I think that's a decision that Thomas needs to make now, sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, someone suggested to me, not inside the club, it's just someone asking the question, saying, oh, would maybe a contract until the end of the season as manager make sense? But I mean, I don't know if that would for me, because again, it would feel like that Jacko would still be proving himself. I mean, any managerial contract is effectively a contract for the next few weeks anyway, because you know you're only as good as your last month's worth of results, as Nigel found out after ending last season well, but starting this season terribly.
Yeah, exactly that. And I think that, you know, Thomas's vision for this football club has always been long term. It's never been about just papering over the cracks and patching things up. And I think if you gave Jacko just a deal until the end of the season, you're not really giving him the trust and the sort of ability to go and put his stamp on it. Because if at the end of this season, you know, we maybe finish mid-table and they want to take it in a different direction, you know, they're not going to give Jacko money to invest in that in January if it's something that's seen as short term. So I think really, if you're going to make a decision and you do give him the job on a permanent basis, it needs to be, you know, it needs to be proper with the correct timelines and not just something that's papering over the cracks until the end of the season. You know, with Bowyer, because it was different because of the situation we were in off the field with Roland. He was caretaker for ages. And, you know, I think it was, he took over in March from Carl Robinson, and we didn't make him the permanent manager until maybe September, I think mid-September of that season. So, you know, that was different, where now we have stability off the pitch and we have an owner that has a long-term plan and a long-term vision for the football club. You want to, you know, get your man in place to do that. And I think Johnny Jackson is definitely, you know, putting himself in pole position for the role, because I think we spoke about it yesterday. We haven't really seen anyone else linked to it or anything like that. I think the job is kind of man-made for him, and it would be like a fairy tale for him now to be given the opportunity to take the job on. And I think Charlton fans, you know, myself included, and you, we've been speaking about it for weeks. I think we'd all get on board with it, and he'd be given the time to make, you know, make mistakes and do what he needs to do to adjust to management, because he is, as you say, fairly inexperienced still. So he would need to be given time and patience from supporters. But I think Charlton fans are more inclined to give a Charlton man the time he needs to make his mark than maybe an outsider that you would expect to hit the ground running straight away.
Now, obviously, one person who has mentioned he's expecting Johnny to be given the job is Saturday's, well, his opposite number on Saturday, Ryan Lowe, the Plymouth boss. They're good mates by the sound of it, and did their coaching licences together. But, you know, when you're hearing it from outside the club as well, it does go to show, and especially from someone like Ryan, who's obviously done a really good job down at Plymouth, and bringing aside in absolutely outstanding form. Was it 17 or something unbeaten in the league when they come to the or only one loss in 17, I should say, when they come to the Valley on Saturday? I mean, this is going to be a real, real test. And again, I mean, if anyone does need any more proof of what Jackson can do, if he can get a result out of this one, I mean, that would be a remarkable achievement. Yeah, they haven't lost since the opening day of the season in the league.
Yeah, it would be, you know, it's another huge test, as we've said. And it's the same as the Rotherham game was a few weeks ago. You know, we'd come off the back of that really impressive win over Doncaster. And it was kind of like, yeah, we've enjoyed that now. It was a good afternoon and stuff. But the challenge is Tuesday. And we went into that game and we didn't just compete, but I thought we were unlucky not to win it. And I thought, you know, Rotherham were sort of battening down the hatches at the end, trying not to concede the defeat to us. So I think that, you know, at home with a big backing, I'd like to think that we can beat anybody. And I think that positivity and that confidence within the squad at the moment as well will go a long way, because when we were struggling under Nigel, we were a team that were completely lacking in confidence and identity. They're two things that at the moment we look extremely high in. So, you know, yes, Plymouth are top of the league at the moment and absolutely flying, and they're there for a reason. And what Ryan Lowe's done there is outstanding. You know, the last time we played them, we beat them 6-0 at their place, and now they're flying at the top of the league, and he's done a very good job. But he's a manager of similar ilk to Jacko, who, you know, he's been given time to come into a club and stamp his authority and his identity on it, and they're reaping the rewards for it. So it's nice to see him come out and, you know, publicly back Jacko as well as the opposition manager, especially an opposition manager you're playing that weekend. It's, you know, the support for Jacko from football, from fans, from players, from even Phil Brown, I heard the other day as well on another podcast, backing him to be a really good manager and man made for it. You know, it's really refreshing.
Yeah, when it comes from Phil Brown, then you take that as gospel, can't you? Right. I mean, we'll look ahead more about the Plymouth side later on when we hear from Chris Errington. But obviously, we know from our own side, appeals to Jaden Stockley's red card against Burton. All I've been told is we're not expecting to hear any outcome this evening on the Thursday. Hopefully, we'll hear something on the Friday as it stands. What are you thinking? I mean, I said on Sunday, I doubt we'd even appeal it. That was my line on Sunday, and then on the Monday we had, and I was surprised. But are you expecting a positive result there?
Not really, no. I mean, a bit like you, I was surprised we did appeal it. You know, I think the decision was harsh on Saturday. I think it was, you know, it was so early on in the game, one, and also it was just a little bit of handbags, really. I think if you'd have booked both players and moved on, then you wouldn't have, you know, that would have been the end of it. I think I was quite surprised that it was a red for both. He just kind of lost control of the game, didn't he, Trevor Kettle, straight away, which is no real surprise. But, you know, with appeals, it always is. I always think that luck has to severely be on your side to get something overturned. And, you know, sadly, I do think that we won't get positive news on this one, because there probably is enough in it from their side to say that it is, you know, worthy of a red card. But from my view of the game on Saturday, I don't think it was worthy of a red. I think it was more of a yellow.
I mean, do you think we'll be able to cope without him? Obviously, he's been an important player for us. I mean, we have started games without him this season when Josh Davison was sort of the lone striker in that 4-3-3, so with the two wingers off him. But, you know, now that we've gone to two up top, I mean, I'm looking at, were we looking at Davison and Washington next to each other?
Yeah, I'd imagine so. I mean, obviously, it's going to be difficult because he's such a presence. You know, he's a good player for us. He causes nightmares for defenders. He's tall. He holds the ball up well. Great in the air, obviously. They're all massive strengths that without him, we probably don't have as much. But I've been really impressed with Josh over the last few weeks. You know, he coped really well after going down to 10, you know, doing that, running that line on his own up top against Burton. I thought he worked really, really hard. And he's always someone that runs himself into the ground, as is Connor Washington, you know, another very hard-working footballer. It'd be interesting to see if he starts, obviously, after being away on international duty. I don't know how much he played for Northern Ireland when he was away. I think he started one and came off the bench in another. So they'll probably be keeping an eye on him for fitness because he's had injuries before. You might see Elliot Lee up there or just playing off of a lone striker. So I think we do have options to cope, but obviously it would be much better if we did have Jaden there and available to choose from. But I don't think that's going to be the case.
Now, obviously, as we know, Akin Fangwe picked up his fifth booking as well. So the expectation is we will be without him. Again, able to cope, I guess. I mean, is Deji going to come straight in? Will we see Gunter sort of come in and Pierce? I mean, I'm trying to work out how that will work, really.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. You know, obviously, we've seen Sean Clare sort of sit in the back three. And he played right back outright at the weekend, obviously with Matthews and Gunter not being available. So you might see, like we did in the FA Cup game, Sean Clare take place on the right side of a back three, maybe with Piercy and Deji. Or, you know, Gunter can play there as well if he comes back. I don't know what the situation is with Adam Matthews. I'm not sure if he's going to be available Saturday or not. I know he was injured beforehand. So, yeah, it may be that we line up with sort of, you know, the three at the back with the two wing backs in Perrington, and then, you know, maybe DJ or Corey on that right hand side. So I think we have options, but obviously Akin's booking as well. You know, it was a silly one. I don't really understand why he got booked for it, but it's something we're going to have to deal with. And he'll be a big miss, but I think, you know, we'll probably just about have enough to get by on Saturday without him.
Yeah, I think Adam Matthews and Jonathan Lecco, it sounds like Johnny's saying that it's going to be too soon for them. And again, I feel like we've coped okay without them. I mean, what have you made of Darling Jayasimi over the last few weeks? Obviously, that rainbow flick against Burton caught a bit of attention, but he was involved in the goal at Burton. I think it was his cross that was flicked on, you know, and obviously big shoes to fill in the form of Lecco. So, Jacko's been pretty pleased with what he's seen from him by the sounds of it.
Yeah, I think he's been brilliant, you know, and he's someone I'm really glad that's come back in from the cold as well, because, you know, we saw him frozen out under Nigel, a little bit like Dobson was, you know, and he's come back in when called upon in that game where Lecco got injured. I think it was Doncaster, wasn't it? And, you know, ever since then, he's performed very well. He's an exciting player. You know, you and I are big fans of his, and I know you were expecting a really big season from him this year, and we have seen him sort of frozen out at the start, but it's good to see him coming back in now and being so heavily involved. And yeah, he's a very exciting, tricky player with a lot of potential, still very young. So, you know, I'm glad for DJ, and I'm really happy to see him back in the starting 11 and performing well as well, because I don't really think he deserved to be frozen out before under Nigel. I don't know what happened there. But for me, he was one of our better performers in a very poor start of the season. So yeah, great to see him back in and around the fold.
Excellent stuff. Right, as I mentioned earlier on today, there's been a new deal signed for Corey Blackett-Taylor. Obviously, joined the club after a bit of a trial earlier on in the summer, and then was on a deal that only ran up until January. But now we signed a new contract that will keep him at the Valley until at least 2023. And Ollie Groom caught up with Corey earlier on this afternoon in a very windy Sparrows Lane to find out how pleased he was with his new deal.
Yeah, I am. Straight away when I got here, I already had that kind of feeling that this is where I wanted to be. So I just kind of had that motivation just to get a longer contract sorted. And as soon as it got offered, I knew that this is where I wanted to be and that I was going to sign it. So I'm glad that we got to an agreement and it's all sorted now.
And how do you reflect on your season so far? Because you've certainly had an impact in some games, coming off the bench more recently as well.
Yeah.
More to come from you, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I think I've shown glimpses of what I can do, but now it's just me trying to do that on a consistent basis over the next few games. I'm glad that I did make an impact, but now I just want to do it on a consistent basis over the next seasons or however long I'm here for. So I'm glad that I'm going to be able to show that soon.
It must take the pressure off as well a little bit, that you don't have to worry now about the next 18 months or however long, because that must play on your mind a little bit, that you're constantly having to prove yourself, like, and you've done that already, so you must take the pressure off.
Yeah, well, I feel like as a professional footballer, it's always pressure anyway. Like, every time you step on the pitch, you've got to represent the club, represent yourself, and try and give the best of yourself. So I always feel like that anyway, but yeah, like, in the back of my mind now that I know that my future's sorted and I know where I'm going to be, it does take a bit of pressure off things, but But yeah, as I said, I'm just glad that it's all been sorted now and just can't wait to keep going now. And my future's sorted now, so I don't have to worry about it.
And finally, just a word on Jacko. How are you finding life under him over the last month or so?
Yeah, I think, as you can see, the performances have shown, the training's changed, everything's been a bit different, but I'm enjoying it the same way as I have with the old manager. But it's been a great impact that he's had on the players and on the performances. So yeah, like I'm enjoying it as much as I ever have. So yeah, I'm glad to be here and to continue working with him.
There we go. That's Corey. Obviously delighted. We'll hear Jacko's thoughts on that deal as well very shortly. But I mean, I feel like he's earned that. When he came in, he sort of really burst into life, didn't he? And added something to the side. And obviously this was a poor side at the time, but he got a couple of assists, I think, quite early on. Got a goal in the FA Cup recently as well. I mean, what have you made of Corey so far? It feels like he hasn't played that much recently in sort of like the league games. So he obviously came on at Burton. But yeah, what has been your sort of early impressions of him?
I've been impressed with him. You know, I remember he came on when he made his first sort of sub appearance. I think it was against Cheltenham, and we didn't perform very well at all as a team. And he was kind of invisible in that game when he came on, and it was one of those things. He came over with a bit of a reputation for going missing when maybe you were up against it. And then I remember him coming on against Wickham, and again the performance was just awful, but when he came on he was absolutely outstanding and he created everything. And when we had that little flurry and nearly got a draw at the end, which would have been totally undeserved, it was all really because of him. And from that moment, yeah, as you say, in a very disappointing Charlton side, he was one of the sort of few bright sparks to come out of that area, that we had under Nigel. And I think, yeah, he's done more than enough to earn a deal. I mean, we've been sort of crying out for it to get done because the way he's been performing, you know, he's not done himself any favours whatsoever. He's been outstanding. So it's good to see that he's been rewarded now. Hopefully it keeps his eye on the ball and he stays focused. And because, as you say, we've not seen him in the side as much recently, but I still think there's a hell of a lot that he can do as impact coming off the bench. And when he does start, you know, he's one of those players that I think will get fans off their feet and will create things. So now he's got his deal sorted, you know, maybe for him that it's good to know his future's tied up as well. So hopefully we see, you know, the performances carry on and some consistency from him, because I think he can be a really good player for us.
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of like that age of your career now, right? 24 years of age. Been flitting around a few clubs. Obviously started off at Villa, been on loan to Walsall, was at Tranmere for a little while where we sort of picked him up as a free agent. But now this is the time where he'd be pleased he's got a couple of years now to settle down and really show his worth, because he's getting to that age in his career now where he really wants to sort of take the ball by the horns.
Yeah, it's a key time for him to settle. And, you know, it's a great club to do it at, because, you know, we're one of these clubs that we've said it so many times. You bring in players that have obviously got this ability, and as long as they've got the right attitude, they'll succeed here. And I think that Corey's come in with a reputation of maybe not having a great attitude and has completely proved everybody wrong. And in my opinion, has been outstanding and more than earned his deal. So yeah, I think, as you say, perfect time in his career for him now to find a bit more of a long-term home. I think the fans here are on side with him and really enjoyed what he's done so far. I know I have. And I think there's more to come from him this season as well. And with that position on the right, you know, with Lecco being out at the moment, obviously we're seeing DJ sort of take up that starting berth for now. But I think that spot's well and truly up for grabs if DJ has a slight dip in form, or if we have a run of games where we need to maybe rest players. I think, you know, if Corey got the opportunity to take that position, I think he'd try and snap it up.
Well, let's hear Johnny Jackson's view on the new deal as well for Corey Blackett-Taylor.
Yeah, he's we're really pleased with Corey. He's an exciting young talent. He's impressed since he came in. When he first came in, he just trained with us straight away. You know, he catches the eye with that pace that he's got. But he's more than that. You know, he's shown in games that he's clever as well with his movement, and you know, he can get up players. You know, he can score a goal. And he's having to bide his time for minutes in the team at the minute, but that's the nature of a competitive squad. But with the schedule coming up, he's going to be one that we're going to lean on. We're going to use, and we're really pleased that he's committed himself to the club.
That's Jacko. Obviously chatting about Corey coming in. I mean, I sort of see it as a positive that a decision's been made on the long term future of a player whilst Jacko's the caretaker manager. There's me thinking, right, well, he's presumably had a fair bit of input on that. So that can only be a good sign.
Yeah, yeah, I hope so. And the same with Deji the other week as well, you know, securing his long-term future here. I think Jacko has been heavily involved in that. And I think, hopefully, trying to read between the lines and not get too excited, that's a good thing. And it kind of spells out the future for maybe a decision coming up for the manager. It would be nice to see, you know, that long-term future sorted out next, you know. And hopefully, I think we're all keeping our fingers crossed that Thomas is coming over to sort of sign the dotted line with Mr. Jackson, and we can all really look forward to the journey he takes us on.
Excellent stuff. Right, I did ask for your views on the deal for Corey Blackett-Taylor, but I only asked just before the show, so we've only got one in on that subject. Pete O'Sullivan says, you know, it makes sense, especially under JJ as well, so that's a good deal. But there's other people looking ahead to the game with Plymouth as well. Liz says, I'm hopeful and positive about Charlton's future. Whether we win this particular game or not, really looking forward to a packed Valley again. And maybe, just maybe, a win. Good pod as always, boys. That's from Liz. Cheers, Liz. Alan says, great show, guys. Cheers, Alan. Be a good game either way. Both teams' confidence will be high. I think we will get at least a point. Hope JJ announcement for manager will come, whether we get a result or not. As Pierce and Deji are the only centre-back, may we see a change in formation? He says, congrats to the Mendes household. Thank you. Yeah, I mean that is something we did mention earlier. I mean, do you feel like coming away from the back three is a possibility? We could play Pierce and Deji, then Gunter and Permuton as a back four. But like I said, we've seen Gunter in that right side, we've seen Clare in that right side, and then Permuton on the left as a wing back. So, I mean, Jacko does have these options. And you expect, like, why would you change a winning formula, I guess?
Yeah, exactly that, you know, and the same with, like, DJ in that wing back position. I've been really impressed with how he's coped, not just going forward, but also coming back and defending. And the same with Corey when he's been in that position. I think it's worked really well in that five. And yeah, it's been really good to see. And I'd like to, you know, as you say, try and keep a winning formula going. I was really impressed with Sean Clare last weekend as well. I think he's been outstanding in that position. So it'd be hard to drop him at the moment, even with Gunter coming back from international duty. So, yeah, you know, obviously missing Akin is going to be a real kick in the teeth. But at the same time, we're seeing options now, and we're seeing people perform when called upon. And it's good that we've got those options, you know, across the pitch, and players that can adapt and maybe play in not such a preferred position and still turn out good performances.
Excellent stuff. Right, the next message comes in from Stuart. Says, this is a real test, but to get the crowd right behind the players and the caretaker manager, give Johnny Jackson the job publicly to the fans 10 minutes before kickoff. Again, not the first time I've heard that suggested this week. I mean, it's certainly great for one hell of an atmosphere, but you know what it's like with us. It'll be a case of after the Lord Mayor's show, like we've seen too often on Football for a Fiver's days, etc. Right, Reg says, still not going to apologise for sending the same message as our last two shows. Johnny Jackson as manager, that's it, that's the tweet. Surely Thomas is going to confirm this to a packed Valley on Saturday. Yeah, people clearly very, very keen for that. I mean, do you like that idea? It'd certainly whip out the crowd into a bit of a frenzy.
Yeah, it would. But like you, I'm a bit pessimistic around these things. And some, you can just imagine them announcing Jacko as manager 10 minutes before kickoff, and then us being 2-0 down after 10 minutes or something. But that is something that we would do. But you never know. You know, Thomas is quite the showman, so I think anything's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I would. It would make for a great sort of few minutes before kickoff, and we'll see. Right, Jamie says, hi, Louis. Can you give a shout out on the pod to the Armed Forces Addicts group, who have 12 people alongside serving personnel on the pitch for the Remembrance Parade before Saturday's game. I'm one of the 12. Massively looking forward to it and very honoured. And then he says, congratulations to me and Mrs. Louis on the baby news. Thank you. And Jacko for manager as well, which is how everyone's signing off every message at the moment. But yeah, Jamie, well, I hope that goes well for you. And yeah, well done for being picked. And the Armed Forces Addicts is still a relatively new fans group that's out there. They've got a Twitter page and that. If you need the contact details, get in touch with me and I'll point you towards the right people if you'd like to join that supporters group. Right, let's have a break. When we come back, we'll focus a bit more on Saturday's home game with Plymouth.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's Jones.
Yes!
Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! The absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Cullen has scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh, my word! Oh, my word!
Charlton Live. Well, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview, looking ahead, of course, to the massive game with Plymouth on Saturday. Going to hear from Chris Errington shortly. Obviously, we know it's a big crowd, but I did actually want to mention, before we hear from Jacko on the crowd, the FA Cup, because we now know who our opponents are going to be in the second round. Obviously, we scraped past Havant and Waterlooville with that 4-0 win. Now we're going up to Gateshead in a couple of Fridays' time. They beat Altrincham 3-2 in a bit of a humdinger of a replay over at Altrincham's ground. And it's Gateshead from the league below who are up there. Lewis, I mean, we've only just come back from a weekend in Newcastle when we beat Sunderland, and now we're up there again. Are you going to go?
Tempted. Very, very tempted. But it depends with work. Being a Friday night, it's a bit of a stretch. But it's an exciting cup tie. You know, for those that do go up there, it'd be one hell of a Friday night out afterwards. So,
yeah. I mean, obviously, yeah, obviously forward to it. It's... I'm going to sound stupid in a few weeks if we do get beaten. But I think in terms of... Gateshead are in the league below. I don't think that counts for too much. It obviously didn't seem to be much between the two sides. But I do feel that Gateshead's ground doesn't feel sort of quite as tightly packed and enclosed as Altrincham's one. So perhaps the crowd won't be quite on top of you and that sort of pressure cauldron. But, I mean, it's still going to be a potential banana skin for us, isn't it? Because any side like Gateshead in a National League, or in a National League North in their case, will go into it against the Charlton team, who they'll hope will have their foot off the gas. And if you do that in these games, then you get punished, as we found out against Northwich Victoria.
Yeah, 100%. You know, the FA Cup is prone for these things to happen. You know, there was an unbelievable game last night between Bolton and Stockport. You know, anything can happen, especially with, as you say, the crowd on top of you. And it's a big occasion for a side like Gateshead, you know, in the second round against, you know, one of the highest seeded clubs in it at this stage. So, you know, they'll be looking to cause an upset and take us and see us as a scout, probably, you know, up there, especially the Friday night under the lights up north. You know, it'd be a difficult one for us. But yeah, you know, on paper, really, it's a good opportunity for us to try and get a decent result and try and progress to the third round. And then from our side, it'd be nice to get, you know, a bigger side in the third round for us to have a little bit of a cup upset, you know, try and get a Prem side and have a decent away trip, because we're crying out for a good away day in the third round. Because was it last season behind closed doors, we got West Ham in the Carabao Cup, didn't we? And none of us were able to go. That would be something that would be, you know, really good for fans to attend. So hopefully we get through this stage and we can get a decent Premiership away day for everybody.
Yeah, or I mean, I like the idea of a big Premier League club coming to the Valley. I mean, I might have to double check this, but I'm fairly confident we still haven't had a Premier League club come to Charlton since we got relegated, which is a long time ago now, in terms of an actual like FA Cup game. And I remember West Ham and Aston Villa coming in friendlies, but they don't really count for like a proper FA Cup atmosphere at the Valley, which I think would be a sight to behold as well. So hopefully we can get past Gateshead. We'll be linking up with the Heed Army podcast nearer the time as well to find out a little bit more about them. But if anyone needs a trick as well for getting up there, you can get cheap, because the trains are really expensive to Newcastle. You can get a cheaper deal to Sunderland and then just get the Metro across and maybe stay in Sunderland. You might save a few quid doing it that way. So there's an idea for all of you as well. Right, as we know, Saturday, we're expecting a bumper crowd at the Valley. That excellent Feel the Valley campaign, where season ticket holders could get up to free extra tickets for zero cost, no charge at all. So it sounds like we're expecting pretty close to a full valley, obviously assuming everyone actually uses the tickets that they bought. But it could be a pretty special day. Jacko was asked during the press day today what it's going to be like to play in front of a full valley.
Well, they should be looking forward to it. They should be excited about it. Obviously, I well know what it can be like when you play in front of a packed valley. What the crowd, you know, when they can get behind you, what lift they give you. The lads are going to experience this firsthand. They already have, playing in front of the valley crowd. Thinking back to the last two games, it's been absolutely unbelievable. They're bouncing, and then you think there's going to be even more people there this Saturday. I know they're going to get behind the team, and as always, the lads are going to have to give them something to shout about. And if they do that, they're going to get right behind the team, and that should help us really hopefully push forward and win the game.
But you said you know what it's all about with Pat Bay as a player, and you've seen it over the last couple of years as well on occasion. The last couple of games have been great as well, under the lights against Rotherham. The Doncaster game was great, but as you said, there's going to be even more people there. I mean, for you in this position now as manager, leading the team out and taking the position on the touchline, that must be pretty special.
It will be, yeah. I'm really excited for the game, really looking forward to it. As always, it will be an absolute honour for me to lead the team out, you know, in front of the packed valley, something I always dreamed of. So, yeah, personally, it's going to be great. I know the lads are looking forward to it, and I know they'll respond to it. So, you know, it's got the makings of a great day.
There you go, Jacko, going to be honoured to lead the side out in front of a packed ground in SC7. I mean, We've seen it, I guess. The last time we saw it was obviously that Doncaster game in the playoffs, which eventually we went through. But actually, we looked quite nervy in front of a big crowd. This isn't as high pressure a game because it's just in the middle of the league season. But it'd be interesting to see how the players react to having a big old crowd in there. And you know, on paper, you'd always assume it will sort of spur them on a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I think it has to be seen as a big motivation for them to go out and perform, and especially, you know, for Jacko with the owner being over as well and stuff. It's, you know, the players are going to want to perform and put on a show for everybody, because ultimately you're going to want them to come back and keep coming back, and they will if the performances are up there and it's all, you know, a decent day out with a decent atmosphere. And, you know, we know what it can be like at the Valley when it's a full house. You know, that Doncaster game, despite maybe being a bit nervy on the pitch, the atmosphere was absolutely incredible. And, you know, when the Valley's rocking on a normal Saturday, it's pretty loud and probably quite intimidating for the visiting side to come to. So with a full house, I can only imagine, you know, the sort of noise that's going to be made on Saturday. And with Thomas there to see, you know, a near to full valley as well, and with JJ, you know, in the dugout, I think it's going to be a really, really good day, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, because obviously we had the success of the Kids for a Quid quite recently. I mean, do you think that will play a big part in if a young family come and see a good performance like they did against Doncaster, then obviously they'd be more tempted to come back?
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's about making new traditions for young supporters. And I said yesterday that, you know, the club put out that video a few weeks ago from the Rotherham game. And I know that wasn't an event, if you like, for Kids for a Quid or anything like that. But to see like the reactions of the young fans when we got back into that game and played as well as we did. And you're seeing like the new era of Charlton fans coming through. And if you can put on these initiatives where you can, you know, one, make football affordable and also get fans in the Valley, it's about making new traditions for these people. And, you know, a family of four could go to the Valley on Saturday, really enjoy themselves, and it might become something they do going forwards. They might buy a half season ticket or whatever. And it's, you know, it's nice to see the club doing things like this because they can, you know, to get supporters back in, because there'll be people that have stayed away over the last few seasons because of, you know, the ownership things at the time that may now think, you know what, I'm going to come back and I'm going to give this a go. And hopefully it's a real attraction to get people back and we start seeing the Valley. You know, it's never going to be full every week. It's not going to be the case, but, you know, at least an extra couple of thousand in, you know, on a regular basis would be really good for the football club.
Yeah, because, I mean, it goes without saying that the only way you consistently increase attendances is through good football on the pitch. I think, you know, you have to get out of League One, basically. But, I mean, if we can look at the momentum that we're on this at the moment, obviously four games without defeat in the league under Jacko, we're looking up that table. And I've been asked this question a few times, and again, I'm still not certain, but now that we're 9 points off the playoffs, albeit having played a game more or two games more than some of the sides above us, I mean, are you starting to feel that it's more possible again? When I asked Connor Washington the other week, he felt it was more than possible to get back into this playoff race, because I can guarantee if we're in that playoff race towards the end of the season, the ground will be a lot nearer to capacity than it is at sort of this early stage.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm in the camp where now it is, you know, it's obviously a lot more possible because we're feeling that like upward trajectory that we're having from a decent run of form. You know, you've got someone at the helm, even as a caretaker at the moment, that people are getting behind, and the team are playing very well. The results have been good. The performances are good. The football is exciting. You know, they're all really important factors to attracting people to come along. And as you say, to stay as well beyond this Plymouth game afterwards. And if we are now looking towards, you know, trying to get ourselves up the league and back into the race for the top six, then yeah, you know, the football and the performances stay at the level they are now, then 100% people are going to want to stick around and watch us try and get this season back on track. And, you know, the way that we're performing at the moment, you'd have to say it's a definite possibility. And the players, with the confidence that they have now as well, will be thinking that they're capable of doing it. And yeah, you know, it's going to be quite exciting now to see where we are, probably, especially if you're looking at where we are now compared to maybe where we'll be around Christmas time. I think that'll be it'd be really interesting to see, because it does feel like the club is on the up now. And yeah, it's something to really look forward to.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's learn a bit more about Saturday's high-flying opponents then in Plymouth Argyle. As I said, in the league, they lost their opening game of the season away at Rotherham, and since then they haven't looked back. They're unbeaten since the opening day in league football. They've won 5 of their last 6 games, including an impressive home win over Ipswich, a 4-1 away win over Accrington last time out as well. So I wanted to find out more. I spoke to Chris Errington of the Plymouth Herald to ask him what has been the secret behind the start to Plymouth's campaign.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a surprise to people down at Argyle as well. Back end of last season, the final 15 games, they won 2, drew 2 and lost 11. And I think if the season had gone on for another 2 or 3 weeks longer, they'd have probably ended up being relegated. And one of those defeats was a 6-0 thrashing by Charlton at Home Park in April. And, you know, maybe that was a bit of a wake-up call for Ryan Lowe and people at the club. They realised that what they were doing wasn't working. And he carried out a major overhaul of his squad, particularly in the defence. And that's really paid dividends this season. They've conceded a lot less goals. They've brought in some experienced defenders who you know, do what it says on the tin. You know, head it, clear it, block it. And with a more secure defence, I think, you know, it's given the rest of the team a bit more freedom and confidence. And the strikers have been scoring goals. So if you can, you know, keep the goals down at one end and score fairly regularly at the other end, you've got the recipe for success, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, you said it's almost come as a surprise. I mean, what were the expectations at the start of the season? And I guess, have they already been transformed now into seeing if they can remain part of this promotion race, which obviously they're leading at this time?
Yeah, I think if you'd offered most Argyle fans, you know, a mid-table finish this season, bearing in mind, you know, they'd struggled at the end of last season, they'd have taken that. That would have been, and still would be, you know, progression in terms of a final position in the table. But, you know, they're sitting, you know, at the top of the table in mid-November, and clearly people are going to be sort of revisiting the expectations and thinking, you know, what is achievable now. We all know there's some very big clubs in League One, Charlton Athletic being one of them, but there's a whole host of clubs that have been in the Premier League or more than capable of being successful in the Championship. So it's not going to be an easy task for Argyle to stay there. But, you know, they're 17 games into the season. They're not a million miles away from the halfway point of the season. And I think, you know, if people were thinking that Argyle were a little bit of a flash in the pan and it was a little bit of a fluke, you know, maybe they might be rethinking. Although this game at the Valley on Saturday, it starts a really tricky or tough spell of fixtures for Argyle. They're away to Charlton, who are clearly in good form recently. Then they've got back-to-back home games next week against Wickham and Wigan. at two of the leading teams. And then after that, they're away to Milton Keynes and Sunderland. Again, two more teams at the top of the table. So I think by the time they've got through that period of games, I think we'll be virtually at the halfway point in the season. And then we'll have a pretty good idea of where Argyle stand in terms of, can they go for promotion? Is playoffs more likely? It'll be fascinating to see from an Argyle perspective how it goes over the next month.
Obviously, Ryan Lowe's been in now for a couple of seasons. I'm guessing he's going to be pretty popular with the run he's put together at the moment, and we're seeing it sort of returned in the amount of fans that have been going to Home Park this season, and obviously bringing a big travelling following to Charlton as well. So they're obviously getting right behind their side at the moment, enjoying the ride, and I guess that sort of momentum can only help Ryan and his side.
Yeah, you know, Ryan Lowe's a very charismatic sort of person. He's a proud Liverpudlian, says it how he sees it, and has done a fantastic job at Argyle. Season one, he got them promoted, albeit it was that weird COVID-shortened season, but, you know, he got them promoted that season. Last year, for a long spell, they were doing really well and, you know, looked as though they might be able to push for the playoffs, and then it all sort of caved in. But credit to him, you know, he realised what was wrong. He went out and rectified it. And, you know, the results are clear to see this season. So, you know, coming up towards 2.5 years at Argyle, you'd have to assess his time there as very successful. He's got his own brand of football, his style of football that he sticks to, and the players that he's brought in over the summer suit that system, whereas maybe last season he had players that perhaps didn't suit that system. He's done a great job. The fans, you know, fans are fans wherever you are in the country, wherever you are in the world. If the manager's getting results, he'll be the greatest thing since sliced bread, and vice versa sort of thing. So he's very popular with the fans, and as you say, I mean, it's shaping up to be a cracking game at the Valley on Saturday. You know, Argyle are going to have, you know, close to 3,000 fans by the sounds of it in the south stand, I think it is, at the Valley. It sounds as though Charlton are going to have you know, pretty much full support as well. So, you know, what a great occasion it's going to be. Two informed teams, big crowd. Yeah, just what we all need, isn't it?
Yeah, and who are the members of the Plymouth side that Charlton crowd should be wary of then? I see Ryan Hardy sort of just coming back into the goals, having had a bit of a dry spell, but who else is there up there that the Addicts should be looking out for?
Well, Ryan Hardy's had a great season. He only got 6 goals all of last season, Louis, and he's up to 12 in all competitions this season already. He's a classic case of strikers thrive on confidence, and he got off to a good start this season. Hasn't really looked back. As you say, he had a little spell recently where he wasn't getting in the goals, but he's got one in each of the last 2 games. So, you know, any time you've got somebody who's got you 12 goals by mid to late November, you know, you should be having a decent season. Luke Jeffcott has often been his partner up front. 6 goals for him this season. Had a bit of success against Charlton last season, scoring in both of the games that Argyle played at the Valley, one in the league, one in the cup. But he's been away for the last couple of games with Wales under-21s, and Jordan Garrick has come in. He's a loan signing from Swansea. Versatile player, started off at Argyle as a wing-back, but with Jeffcott being away recently, he's gone up front, and him and Hardy, you'd have a good 100-metre sprint between the two of them. They're both very rapid, and they call Sheffield Wednesday all sorts of problems in the FA Cup first-round replay on Tuesday night. Garrick got 2, Hardy got the other. So there's no shortage of pace up front for Argyle. And in centre midfield, Ryan Broom, who's another loan signing from Peterborough United, he's been a revelation. He's come into the midfield, brings so much energy and drive going forward. He started chipping in with a few goals recently, and he's keeping Danny Meyer out the side. And Danny Meyer's a very talented player, but he's had a few injury problems this season. He's fit again, but the form of Ryan Broom means that that Meyer's been on the bench in recent games.
There we go. Thanks to Chris. It sounds like it was almost unexpected a little bit. I mean, considering how well it's gone, and Chris sort of. You know, talking about the same way I'd be talking if Charlton had started this way. I'd be like, well, at some point it's all going to fall apart, and you're always nervous. But as you know, from the performances so far, it doesn't look like it's going to. In fact, they've just been getting almost better and better as the season's gone on.
Yeah, exactly that. You know, it's the good sides that can take these runs of forms at the start of a season and really hit a run of consistency. And you know, at the start of a season, if you win a few games and you're up there, you think, yeah, you know, it's good at the moment, but there's a long way to go. You know, we're coming into the end of November now and December time, and you know, they've had a really strong start. I think what they've only lost once, was it the opening day, and they're a team that sort of have that good, you know, that togetherness, a good identity. I think Ryan Lowe's done an outstanding job with them as well. They've got some very good players, you know, the likes of Ryan Hardy, Luke Jeffcott. They've got strong players that are good at this level, and they just seem to be on the up a little bit. You know, Plymouth were a side, I think, when we first got relegated to the Championship, they were in the Championship with us, and they kind of dwindled and dropped from there down into League Two. And when they've come up to League One, they've kind of just sort of been, you know, around mid-table, haven't really caused a huge amount. I know under Derek Adams, they nearly pipped us with the playoffs, but we nicked it right at the death, didn't we? And, you know, they're a side now that seem to be in a strong position. And I think under a manager like Ryan Lowe, he's got promotion history with Bury, and I think he's doing a good job there and seems very settled. You know, I think, yes, you know, the wheels can come off, but at the moment it doesn't look like it's showing any signs of doing so. So it's going to be a real test on Saturday.
Yeah, and as you'd expect for a team that's absolutely sort of flying, I guess is fair to say, at the top of the table, you know, they're scoring plenty of goals. They're second highest scorers in the league behind Ipswich. The defence... Well, it's not quite as tight as you'd expect. They've conceded 15. Oh no, it is also as tight as you'd expect. They've got the third best defence in. I think I was being overly optimistic there when I was looking at the goals against table upside down. So look, they're free scoring at one end, tight at the other end. So I mean, again, if we're going to have to be at our very best, but at the same time, you know, these winning runs or unbeaten runs have to come to an end at some point.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, we have a history of doing this, you know, where we end unbeaten runs. You know, we beat Sunderland this season at their place after, I don't think they'd lost there for quite a long time. So that was a run that we've ended. I remember, obviously, years ago, we knocked Huddersfield at home, didn't we, when they were on that massive unbeaten run. So, as you say, runs are there to be broken. You know, we're on a little mini run ourselves at the moment as well. So I think we have to be fairly cautious, but... You know, I think it's a whole new game for us Saturday with a packed Valley and everything as well. I think it'll be interesting not just to see how we react to the big crowd, but also Plymouth. You know, they're going to be coming up against a side full of confidence with, you know, Jacko there, players really playing for him, fans really behind him. You know, we're a completely different animal to the one we were under Nigel, you know, a month ago. So, you know, if you'd have looked at this game, if this game came a month earlier, you know, you'd put us with no chance whatsoever. But the way we're playing at the moment and that confidence that's running through the team and the positivity running through the fan base, I just think that we're a completely different animal now.
Yeah, and if this game had come a month ago or at the very start of the Jacko regime, then I guess there would have been a chance that they could have underestimated us. But now, you know, now that Jacko's feet are under the table and we know exactly how well we've been playing over the last few weeks, I guess there's not really a chance that they're going to be sort of surprised by how good we are now compared to how poor we were a month ago.
Yeah, exactly that. You know, I think Ryan Lowe would have done his homework and would have paid attention to our upward change in form. You know, he's, as we said before, he's very pally with Jacko and they did their badges together. So they probably speak quite a lot away from the pitch as well about how they're getting on in their roles. And he's a real supporter of Jacko getting the job. So he'll be well aware of the threat that we possess now. So it's going to be a real challenge, you know, not just for us, but I think it'd be a challenge for them, a completely different challenge coming to a side full of confidence and, you know, a packed Valley, anything can be possible. And I think I wouldn't have us as favourites going into this by any means. I think it'd be a really tight game, but I'd give us a hell of a lot more of a chance to win it now than I would have done a month ago.
Excellent stuff. Right, well, we have come to the end of this week's Charlton Live Big Match Preview. Thanks to all of you who've tuned in and listened to the very end. I forget, we'll be back on Sunday to look back at the game against Plymouth and, of course, ahead to Tuesday's trip up to Morecambe. Lewis, thanks for joining me and, well, congratulations on being allowed outside the house as of, was it tomorrow? So you'll be at the game on Saturday?
I will be, mate. Yeah, be there on Saturday. Excellent. Yeah, I'll be hoping you save me a table in Ballycaff. It's going to be a lot busier this week.
Exactly, yeah. That's why I'm going to have to get there even earlier this week, just to make sure no one's sitting in my seat in the Ballycaff, please. That is the highlight of my weekend, always. Right, thanks to everyone who's tuned in and sent your messages in. Don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday. As I've said, thanks for listening. I'm Louis Mendez, and we shall see you soon. Charles and Life.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.